Everybody's freaking out. Everybody's losing their blank over a practice. We're talking about practice. Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Mike, we got to dive into what was practice number one. We'll get to practice number two today. As a matter of fact, Kevin Stefanski is going to speak to the media coming up here in about 5 minutes. And we'll start to hear some things about what he saw and what he had to say to his team. And then they'll get back on the field today. And look, this could happen, by the way, that the Falcons practice great today. Tua is way better than he was yesterday. And all of a sudden, what's the narrative then? What I'm telling you is, relax. I know we're up in arms about this quarterback thing. But, Mike, I think it's hard when Daniel Jones was as good as he was yesterday in practice and it was being reported he was 14 of 14, guys.
Right.
So, you know, he threw 14 passes, he completed 14 balls. And then you hear, well, Tua wasn't as good. Well, he was 8 of 13, 62% completion. It ain't bad. But I hear you. The pick six got everybody all over. Oh, my God, here we go. But I will say this. I am more concerned, and this is where my focus is, Mike. What's going on with Tommy Rees and Kevin Stefanski and Alex Van Pelt? What's up with this offense as a whole right now?
Because, like, again, small sample size. They all look like crap that came out flat. Not sure what that was, you know, against the Broncos. But we won't see the starters again until, you know, next game, what, 3 weeks? Week three, I should say, of the preseason. So all we're going to go by is what the media is telling us, and we're going to get to some of that in a second, in the scrimmage in Indy. But I don't know. It's not like, is Callahan reinventing the wheel for this offensive line? We know there's going to be more screens. They got the athletes to do what they think, and screen passes is something we have not done. We have the lowest screen rate in the NFL. But still, run blocking is our bread and butter. So how have we been so awful with that, you know, to start this this preseason? It's a little confusing.
It is. And look, I'm not—
Unless he's breaking it down to build it up. And there's some new stuff that we're just, it's the genius stuff of Bill Callahan, the new news that we're not privy to. I don't know.
Yeah, I just, you know, look, the thing is that should be concerning is no explosiveness, right? It's been a lot of underneath, and you're going to say, well, that's all Tua. Is it? Is he calling the plays? Like, part of this is, what are we trying to accomplish? And we ended the show yesterday, and I said, we're 4.5 weeks into this thing. What is going to be our culture? We think it's going to be the offense because that's where the focus has been. They've paid everybody on that side of the ball, right, Mike. But yet in these scrimmages, these preseason games, and now these practices, the offense has been blah. Josh Kendall, our buddy from The Athletic, joined the morning shift this morning. I'm going to let you hear what he had to say coming up here in a minute. And by the way, we don't defend bad performances. When guys are bad, they're bad. There's nothing you can say about it. You can't pump it up. That's just what it is. But I don't think he was as bad as what was being reported. And then you had this guy, this Kevin Bowen guy, Mike, who went off yesterday. He was horrific. And the rest of the country sees that and they go, oh, my God.
Yeah, again, I don't know who this guy is. Look, he's earned the right to be there at practice, so he's an accredited journalist.
Yes.
But it's like, two up to put it on my leg. He looked terrible. I'll look terrible. They really didn't run the ball, but that's not a big deal. Wait a minute. The Colts didn't run the ball, but that's not a big deal. Jonathan Taylor ran for like a mile against us in Berlin.
He did.
Okay? Or 3 kilometers. I mean, he ran for all day. So for us to stop whatever they were trying to do in the run for us is kind of a big thing. You know, Jonathan Taylor, not really run. But again, we're sure what the wide receiver's going to do. You know, Pierce is injured. So it's like, all right, okay. That's one guy's perspective. That's why you always have to take all of this with a grain of salt.
And I think the guys that cover our team did that. I think Josh Kendall did that. I think Daniel Flick, who covers it for the AJC, did that. We're going to talk to D-Led. Right. Yeah, mistakes
more balanced,
are made.
But a little more balanced
yes.
take on it
yes.
than like the soundbite guy.
And I only say that, again, Mike and I, we don't have to defend crap. When this team sucks, we've told them out over the right. years, right? It is what it is. But also, it ain't as bad as it's being. Like, when you hear one guy say that, it's not that bad. And plus, we've seen this. We've seen him throw picks at our practices. With that said, what did Tua have to say about the first day of the joint practices with the Colts? Here's what he said after yesterday.
Well, I think it went good with our first team, second team, third team series. You know, we had some things that, you know, we wanted back, and there's some things that we can look to clean up as well. But I think overall it went pretty well. Outside of that, we had our move the ball series in which, you know, some things happened. Can't turn the ball over. That's step number one. And, you know, from there, just got to be on the same page with the receiver.
Yeah, and he's alluding to the interception. So
what's this we stuff?
Well, he's talking about the offense.
But you turned the ball over.
That's true.
You.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I mean, again,
that's true.
That's the old joke about, you know, I, we.
We,
know?
Yeah.
When things are great, it's I. When things are bad, it's we. You know, it's, what's this we stuff, Kimo Sabe?
Tua talked about the interception. This is the at the end of practice. Who was that to? Justin Wally, I believe it was. He threw that pick six, and everybody was, oh! Here's what he said about it.
He had a good break, but I think the ball didn't help either. Just throwing it to his outside shoulder instead of his inside shoulder.
Aha! There you have it. Because the guy from Indy was like, yeah, you know, an unbelievable technique. I mean, that's what we expect from this guy. I just jumped the route. And,
but Mike, in that same report, he didn't say anything about Drake's 50-yard pass down the field where Drake went over the top of this guy's head and had a ball yesterday. That wasn't in there.
Yeah, we'll have to play that audio, Oren, of the Indy guy, because it is kind of one-sided.
It's very really, one-sided. Right. And again, we're not to defend this. If Tua doesn't play as well as he needs to, guys, he won't be on the field. That's fine.
Right. And the thing is, he will be on the field until Penix Jr. is ready, even if he is not good, because they're not going to start Cooper Rush.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. But I would tell you, that's how bad it would have to be. Because Cooper Rush has played in this league. He started some games, won some games. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are going to react to Kevin Stefanski and what he's talking about before practice starts up there today. But this is our focus, and you guys can chime in. And let me say this, too, by the way. It's so easy, okay, to talk about Penix the way a lot of you are now. You're the same folks who were saying Penix, we shouldn't have drafted him. You're the same folks who said Penix can't get the job done. Guys, he was hurt four times in college.
Right.
Then you add last year, okay? That's a lot of injuries. You're the same people who said, oh, he's not accurate. The same folks who said he's got bad knees. And now all of a sudden, we got to get to Penix.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, I mean, I would be categorized as being all of those things you
this
just talked
true.
About.
This is true.
But I'm just not interested in Tua. I want to know, and I want to see, because we've always said, guys.
Well, who has the long-term viability?
It's Penix.
Here.
Penix, look, the best play for the Falcons is having a quarterback under contract on his rookie deal, giving you three more years, hopefully productivity, where you've got a good, strong nucleus that we just bankrolled, right? And then we can continue to build with free agency next year, and we know we go into a season with a guy who's got a good season under his belt, a full season where you come out of it saying, Michael Penix Jr. is my quarterback. He is a starting quarterback in the NFL. Right now, you can't say that.
No, you can't. And look, I don't know how this shakes out. I don't know if anybody does right now, but the thought is, right, that you will get a chance at some point to see both of these guys, and then the cream will rise. But the main thing you have to figure out as an organization, and this is really on Matt Ryan. I'm putting this on Matt because you played it at a high level. You're a future Hall of Famer in my eyes. Is he that dude? And if he's not, you got to go back in the draft. And I don't care if he is his fifth-year option is picked up, Mike. If you don't feel in your heart of hearts that he's the dude,
then you don't get it.
You got to go back in the draft. And that is why this is such a big deal. But the Tua thing, I think, is being blown out of proportion because, to Mike's point, he is going to start the season. And by the way, let me clear all of this up while we're talking about this.
Please do.
The T-U-A stems from me giving him a shot. It stems from me giving him a chance. That's how that got started, okay? Mm-hmm. Are we going to win games? I don't know. Who's going to be better? I don't know. But when many of you, and I, by the way, you can go back on my timeline, when we said the rumor was out there, and I knew it the day of we made the deal, I said, I'm not in on Tua. I'm not convinced. And then he did the interview, and he came in, and he said all the right things, and it feels like his health is right, and his work ethic is where it needs to be. And I said, I'm going to give him a chance. So if you got a problem with that, so be it. But that's where I'm at. And then if he blows this opportunity, Mike, then that's what it is. But I'm still not completely sold on Michael Penix with all the reasons that Mike has laid out. And yes, it sounds critical, and sometimes, you know, oh man, you're a hater. No, you're not being a hater. We're laying out facts about why you should doubt this situation.
I mean, that's the thing where we've gotten sideways with some of the audience. Again, I think most of our audience gets it. And there's guys that just, like, they don't get the joke. We had fun with Mr. Voice and some stuff as we built up to camp, and some guys just, as you said, they
lose it.
And again, we talked to Michael Penix didn't throw a rock at us. He didn't elbow us in the stomach. He's an adult, and he knows the criticism. He's heard it. And the reality is he hasn't been able to stay healthy. Now, again, he's going to have to prove that he can do that. Durability is the big thing, figuring out this offense. Look, Tua himself is still trying to figure out this offense, and he's got a lot more experience in the NFL than Michael Penix Jr.
That's a good point. And he said as much. It's Dukes and Bell. All right, this is the soundbite. Let's skip to the kid or whoever he is. I don't know. This Kevin, who is he, Kevin Bowen? Yeah. This is what he said after practice. I got everybody all upset.
I thought Tua was absolutely horrific. Yeah, I thought the Falcons were terrible with their starting offense. Justin Wally had a pick in this end zone right over here. Pick six to end practice.
Okay. And look, if you just heard that, you run with it. And that's what a lot of people did. What they're not telling you is some of the good things, including Michael Penix, who did participate in 7-on-7. Yep. Penix was 6 of 9 in 7-on-7.
But the Colts guy's not going to talk about that.
No, of course not. And that's what I'm saying. So, Falcon fans, relax. Those are the things, Mike, that they're not talking about. He sailed a pass over Drake London's head. Okay, great. But he was also 6 for 9. He was pretty good in his time of playing 7-on-7. And he gets more reps there because Tua gets more reps in the 11-on-11.
Right. The word on Tua was there was really nothing deep down the field. One play that was down the field, basically Drake bails him out on a 50-50 ball and then takes it over the DB's head and runs it for a touchdown.
So this is what I'm asking, though. Why are we just throwing these short routes? Where's the play calling to open this offense up and take some shots?
Yeah, I mean, do you do that in a scrimmage situation? I don't know how the coaches approach
it. This is as real as the game.
I don't know. It's a good question. But, I mean, Tua does not have the arm strength of Michael Penix. That's one thing we'll definitely give check and an advantage to Michael Penix Jr. in this battle when it becomes a battle. But Tua, underneath stuff, Stefanski's bread and butter, yards after the catch. But you're right. I mean, at some point, with our weapons, you want to go down the field.
I just look at who's the kid, Mike, we're talking about?
Zachariah Branch?
Yeah. What's he here for? Right.
And apparently, now again, it's only one-on-ones, beating the individual. You might be going up against a third-string DB, but either way, Dotson had a couple of nice routes and nice catches when, you know, he was one-on-ones.
All right. No Cooper Rush yesterday, by the way. Excuse me, no Jack Strand.
Yeah, I read that from it. There was a good breakdown. I know it's behind a paywall with The Athletic, but Josh Kendall, who was on the morning shift, talked about Strand is losing minutes and losing reps, so that's not good for him.
Rush has experience, man. Yeah. I think that plays here.
But Strand will play Saturday night because who else is going to put out there?
No, I agree. Right. Yes. Because you're not playing the starters. All right, speaking of Josh Kendall, what did he have to say about the offense? The offense. It hasn't looked good as a whole. We'll let you hear that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You can follow us, guys. Dukes and Bell, 929. That's the show. Follow Mike at ATL Bell, 929. I may put him up. See Dukes and follow the radio show at 929. Or should I say the radio station at 929 The Game. Lots of stuff going on today. We're going to get a chance to talk to D. Orlando Ledbetter before practice number 2 starts up there in Indianapolis. Mike, you were talking about Josh Kendall and his comments on Tua. And this is what he said to the morning shift today in regards to Tua and his performance.
Well, he completed some balls, but, again, we're going right back the other way now, I'm afraid. A ton of it was dump-off stuff. A ton of it was swing passes and screen passes. One ball went further than 10 yards. That was the ball that Drake, big boyed Justin Wiley, the Colts cornerback, and got up about 15 feet in the air, it felt like, and grabbed the ball and took it for a touchdown. So, yes, Tua says he's getting better. The completion rate is going up. He's finding these checkdowns more, but this is still not what Kevin Stefanski and Tommy Rees hope this offense looks like at some point this season, hopefully sooner than later.
And that's my question. Mm. The question is, why are we looking like this? Is that a function of, hey, get comfortable with things before we stretch this out? See, I think these two practices are important because Saturday you're not going to see these guys, and this is your chance to work on stuff. This is it. You get the opportunity with ones versus ones. Go work on it. If he throws a long pick, who gives a damn? But work on it. And right. And when you tell me he's throwing these short passes, my question to you is it all check downs because that's what he sees, or are those the play calls?
Bit of both.
Okay.
Bit of both. Or is he – or – I mean, like, we don't know because we're not inside his noggin. And when he talks, it's very, general, and it's kind of boilerplate, sports cliches. But – is he a little, lacking confidence right now in this offense? And maybe that's why he's not pushing the ball down the field.
I don't know either. I have no idea.
I'm not trying to create a false narrative here because that's a false narrative. Is what I was about to say. But yeah, I know what you're getting at. I don't know.
I don't either. But if you can't answer that question, then you can't criticize it. You can tell me that he's throwing these balls. Like, where's that coming from? And, Mike, we talk about the confidence level. Look, neither one of these guys right now, it's our major concern, Falcon fans. Neither one of these guys are blaring with confidence right now. If Penix was, he'd be out there.
I know. Well, we need Stuart Smalley to come in. You're good enough. Your knee is healthy enough. And gosh darn it, people like you. No, like that's why I'm saying it's very disconcerting for a fan to not know who your QB is going to be. So I think the default setting, as we've said from back in May, is going to be Tua Tagovailoa until Penix gets the clear.
And we knew that, yeah. Mike. But I think that's what we knew.
And as we talked yesterday, and it's funny, I ran into a coach at my gym yesterday, and she's a big listener. She heard our conversation from Monday's show, and she agreed with us. I mean, you can't put Penix till he gets cleared. And if Tua does well, he might not get the chance to prove what he can do, unless Tua really does stink it up.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's going to be crazy, man. Linebackers were good yesterday. About a bunch of guys rotating in and out, which, you know, we've been talking about Kendall Daniels and who's going to play alongside, you know, Diablo. Diablo's your starter. It's who else is playing next to him is really the question. So Christian Harris is getting an opportunity, Perkins, all these guys. And again, we'll see what comes out of practice today. But you are more than welcome to chime in. These are things that I'm thinking about.
Right.
I'm not worried about these mistakes, because that's what practice is for. You're going to make mistakes. I know everybody's crazy. Guys, if we look this bad game one, game two, and game three, trust me, Mike and I will be going off in here. Right. Okay?
Now, one of the positives, we talked about how better we looked against the run, against the Colts, a team that completely owned us at the line of scrimmage. And, you know, Jonathan Taylor just, I think he's still running from that game in Berlin that we lost.
Did he run for 200?
Him and Harris, I think they combined for like nearly 400 yards in total offense.
Crazy.
Again, the two weapons you got to stop there, Ulbrich. But as far as a good piece of news, you know, Brandon Dorlus is listed as a lineman because he is the edge, and he's a defensive end, but then when the outside linebacker comes in, Carl, and it becomes like a four-man front, he's sort of now sort of one of the tackles. But he's a guy that can play edge, and he had 9 sacks last year, but he said he's loving the they're giving him flexibility.
Yeah.
And one of the comments is he's loving his role and he's having fun. And that might be a guy, when we said, where does it come from? Expand Dorlus's role in pass rush and also what he can do inside. And maybe there we get some of the sacks we're missing between Pierce's suspension and no Jalen Walker.
I like it. I hope that's the case. Speaking of narratives, this is one that's out there, and that is that the Falcons are downplaying Tua's performance, so that makes it easier, Mike, when they want to go and make the decision to transition to Michael Penix. Mm-hmm. And my answer there is, Penix was drafted as a franchise quarterback, right?
Yes.
He was drafted as a franchise quarterback.
Well, we're never going to be picking this low again, so we've got to grab him. Terry Fontenot.
Yeah.
Hey, 2024.
Hey, Terry. How you doing? I think that's a false narrative too, Mike, because he's the guy that was drafted to be your franchise quarterback. You don't have to apologize for putting him in there.
No, and it's year three, and we'd like to know if he is a franchise quarterback. And the fact that we're going into year three and we don't know this. Now, again, if he has a magical Jordan Love-type year, remember Jordan Love didn't get on the field until his fourth year.
That's right.
And then the Packers had to make business decision. They said yes. You know, and then next you know, it's a big contract. But that's what we're hoping for. I mean, look, when Michael said that the doctor says your knee is going to be unbelievable,
you should never have another issue.
Talk to a buddy of mine that handles my knees at Piedmont. He goes, I don't know what that guy's smoking. I'd never say that to a patient of mine. But unless there's some new, as my guy said, unless there's some new procedures he's not privy to, you know. But if Mike has some confidence, gets out there and can just make good decisions with the football, work on the footwork, all the things that he didn't get from Zach Robinson, that he should be so further down the road in his first 2 years, but he didn't get the coaching. Because the head coach hired a nitwit to be the OC who wasn't equipped to handle a rookie.
Yeah.
Confidence is very sexy.
Yes, it is.
Don't you think?
It allows you to do wonderful things, guys. By the way, speaking of the Falcons, this is not on the field related. Mm-hmm. But it's a little bit worrisome. Because private equity is slowly but surely working their way into the world of sports. And I don't know how many of you are paying attention, but I think they'll be paying attention now.
Yeah, man. Arctos is the sports investment wing of KKR. Now, for guys who don't follow Wall Street, that's Kravis. That's one of the masters of the universe. He's worth like $13 billion. Remember Barbarians at the Gate when they took over RJR Nabisco? And
yep.
Kravis eventually comes in and swoops in. Anyway, so big time Wall Street. They see the NFL as a bulletproof investment. Because every year, other than the COVID year, the NFL's growth is just insane. So the Falcons were valued anywhere between $6 to $8 billion, depending on where Forbes had them just a year and a half ago. Now their valuation is over $10 billion. They come in for 10%. They've created KKR took over Arctos, and not that it matters, but they're using this as like their sports portfolio. These guys have a piece of
everybody.
They got a couple of sports: Paris Saint Germain, the Buffalo Bills, Golden State Warriors, Fenway Sports Group, and now 10% of the Falcons.
And a little bit there, and a little bit there.
Not yet confirmed by the team, reported by Bloomberg and others.
Yeah, business websites, guys, that cover financials. And look, it doesn't surprise me, but the point is, Mike, the more you're ingrained into this, the more power you ultimately have. It's not about owning a team here. These guys have like 48, their hands in 48 different properties,
right?
And so you just start to wonder at what point, how do they maneuver that down the
road?
Well,
that's just, I mean, hypothetically, if things go bad when private equity gets involved, that's why it was so scary for them to get involved in the college game. Because what happens if, you know, they slowly have influence in the board, they take more and more shares, they become Pac-Man, and now they're dictating how you go and your direction. You know, and maybe it's not the best thing for your organization. Look, this is all about profit, so they'll see how long they hold on to it. Presume it's a bit of a long-term investment. Look at the Lakers, man. They've sold for bought for 10, sold for $12 billion. $2 billion in 1 year of growth. And the NFL does 10 times better than the NBA.
Yeah, all these franchises, even the worst franchise you can think of. What franchise do you think is the worst?
Miami Marlins.
No. I'm saying in the NFL.
I'm saying all of sports.
Oh, yeah.
Probably.
Yes.
Ooh, NFL, that's a great question.
Because you might think,
Browns, but even in Cleveland.
The Browns are they are a heritage team. They would make a killing if they decided to
sell. Once they get the new stadium. And by the way, it's funny. The stadium's going to be demolished in 29. It lasted 30 years. That's basically the going rate for stadiums
now
in America.
No, it is.
Mercedes-Benz, hopefully we can outlast that, but don't count on it. But yeah, 30 years for the old Browns stadium. They're going to have a new stadium, which will take their valuation up.
Yeah, I just...
especially if they do everything like the battery and everything around it.
Everybody's like, Jacksonville is terrible. Let Khan sell it. It'll be crazy numbers. The point is, the worst NFL franchise is still worth way more than what you think it is. So, yeah, that story is just out there. Doesn't mean anything for the season. And again, to Mike's point, the Falcons haven't confirmed that. But from a business side, it just makes you wonder, okay, where this might be going. Hey, a couple of other things.
Cincinnati Bengals are currently the lowest valued NFL franchise, Brown family, at $4.1
billion. Okay. All right.
I mean, think about that. You're the worst in the NFL, and you're still worth
$4 billion. That's the point. Braves at White Sox today. Grant Holmes on the hill. Don't trust him, but we'll see what we get today. We'll talk with Grant McCauley later today in the show. Atlanta United, Mike, did win last night. They defeated Minnesota 2-1 for their fifth win of the season.
Now, I'm not saying Mike Conte is on the pipe, but he thinks this team just might get on a run.
Okay.
And they've got a window now where they could actually make the bottom line plus the playoffs.
No way.
Yes.
No way. No.
So, that'd be nice. Yeah, I got to be honest. If these knuckleheads make the playoffs, I might get my ass back in that Mercedes-Benz to watch them. I've been watching United in person in a minute. What day? I'm just saying.
Yeah.
What? Why are you shaking your head? Why are you shaking?
I don't know.
You watch the freaking WNBA, okay?
And it's very entertaining.
I'm talking about the MLS here.
It's not about that.
It's very entertaining.
Nothing.
Have you ever been to a United game?
Yeah, I have.
So what's the problem? Was it your bag?
It's just, you know.
What? Say it. Spill it out, man.
You said our. You said pipe.
Oh, yo.
Oh, I can never tell what I say a lot of crazy up over the course of 4 hours. I never can tell what he's making the look for.
Yeah, I didn't think that. It's true because there are a lot of people who don't think this team's going
anywhere. Like, is Conte high that he thinks United's going to make the playoffs? Yeah. Was the inference of those not catching?
Well, that's better.
I think that's better.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Pipe is, you know.
What is he, a crackhead? What are you saying?
They call him Pookie from New Jack City.
I mean, but okay, fine. That's why I said no way.
I'm not comparing Mike Conte to Pookie from New Jack City. I'm just the inference.
No, you did that. You did that with me.
But the pipe is weak.
He's calling me, man. I just gotta go to it.
Kids at home, you stay away from the weed too. It's a gateway drug. Then you wind up like Pookie. That's how it starts. A vicious cycle, Carl.
It's not true.
Pookie got shot. That's what's happening.
Yes, exactly.
Gotta get in here. I'm going to die.
Hey, man. We are getting comments from Kevin Stefanski. We're going to talk more about that when we come back. Also, it's funny. This dude, Rah-Rah84. Rah-Rah. He says, just admit you were wrong about Tua. Have we played a real game yet?
No, not yet. I mean, granted, he looks like crap right now, but it's still not the regular season.
Guys, I can remember there were camps that some of you said Matt Ryan looked like crap in camp.
Same guys that wanted Dominique Davis to start.
What was the one?
I'm just telling you.
He threw the pick to Knox and everyone lost their mind?
Yes. And remember, that changed the policy. We had to stop taking videos after the Matt Ryan thing got released. You're absolutely right. Yeah. And it was just one of those throws and like individual drills. Stop it. Rah, rah.
All right. Again, he's got to get – he's learning the system, Carl. And then Carl's going to...
What do you think Michael Penix is in this system?
He kept repeating, three knee surgeries. Talk about the three knee surgeries.
I mean...
What do you think? Seriously, what do you think Penix is?
He's the greatest 7-on-7 quarterback in the NFL.
Would you stop it? No, I'm saying, do you think he's up to... You think he's up to par with everything?
He told us he's getting the mental reps when we interviewed him a few weeks at camp, a week ago. Said he's just trying to do everything he can to be up to speed with this offense. As within his doctor's orders.
Not!
What? I didn't say that.
I didn't say that.
Hey, we're going to give you a chance to win some Braves tickets. Rah-rah, keep listening. Maybe you can win them. We're going to give you tickets to the Rockies game, man, on Sunday, August 30th. So stay tuned. We'll give those away. We'll come back. D. Orlando Ledbetter next. Longtime beat writer for the Falcons. He's got his own thing now, Mike. It's the bow tie.
That's right, Carl. It's a great value. Get it. By the way, yesterday, D, we were talking about, we looked at your Twitter page. We were talking about the value and the great deal for people who join now for Bowtie Sports.
Yeah, man. Congratulations, D. And big shout out, man. Congratulations on your award at NABJ last week, too, man. Want to give you some love on that, brother.
Hey, yeah, appreciate it, Carl and Mike. Thanks for having me. Yeah, and Sam Lacy Award, that was pretty big. I appreciate that also.
No doubt. All right, man, let's get your evaluation on what you saw yesterday. They'll practice again today. And then what jumped out at you, if anything, with Kevin Stefanski's comments here before practice today?
Yeah, you know, just the fact that, you know, the Darius Smith is coming in to help the pass rush. We knew that. They needed that work there. You know, I wanted to know about the trenches. That's been my focus here, and watching, you know, if they're going to hold up inside. And I've seen the DeForest Buckner and Lindstrom video out there. But, you know, he won some battles, too. That was just one pitcher. So I thought they did pretty good in the trenches, and he did, too. Because you can work out the other stuff. You can know Drake's going to run good routes and all that, but if he's got – they don't have time and they can't run the ball, then that's going to be a bad thing for the offense. And, of course, we know defensively they got to be able to get after the quarterback. So we got to stop the run first before you even get there. So that's where we're at.
Right.
And we'll be looking at that again here today.
Look, is Juwan Taylor going to be all right? We always thought it was like, you know, a tricep injury. Then we found out he had to clean up his knee in the spring. Is that why we've been late getting him out there?
Yeah, it was a knee injury in March. He had surgery. He said it wasn't that major, so that means that it probably wasn't, you know, major ACL tear. It was like a cleanup, maybe right. A meniscus type of deal. So, but yeah, he looked pretty good to me yesterday, first time out, seeing him in extended action. And, you know, they're going to be careful with him and try to ease him back into things.
D, what do you see with Michael Penix? You know, Mike and I have talked a lot about this over the last few weeks. We see him every day. D, he looks fine to me physically. So tell me what you see and what you think the holdup is.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's 9 months on Tuesday for the ACL surgery, and it's a 9 to 12 month recovery period. So I'm not expecting him back anytime before August 25th. I've been saying that since the injury. He wasn't expecting to be back until the first week of the season. So I don't know why people think he's supposed to be back by now. So now, if he doesn't get activated late next week, then you kind of say, okay, is this going to linger on? Is this going on? How far? And so forth. But, you know, that's where he's at. It's an ACL. That's a major, major knee injury. Mm. And you don't want to rush him back from that. So you know, it looks fine to me. I saw him rolling out. I'm like, oh, that looks good. He's throwing 707, threw a dime out there yesterday. But, you know, he's not ready to take contact, and the doctors know that. And, you know, he might not get any contact this exhibition season. Mm. And I don't know if you start him cold in the opener or not, but Tua hasn't looked very good, and that might have to be an option.
And that's the thing, D. I mean, we're trying to figure out. I mean, Tua trying to grasp this defense. The offense, he missed 4 or 5 days himself with a sore back, so that put him behind the eight ball. But if Tua does figure this out, D, and we're winning, then how does Penix get on the field? Or does he still? Or the plan is still to get him on the field regardless?
Yeah, I think if y'all been watching practice, you don't really have to worry about that because you've seen the interceptions, the incompletions, you know, the sacks. You're not supposed to be taking sacks in 7-on-7.
Yep.
So I think, you know, your better option might be to go with Penix even if he's just coming back.
Mm. Yeah, but my concern is his mobility. And here you are talking about protecting and running routes. That's not an issue?
He don't have mobility. You know
I know.
He is, Carl. He ain't running nowhere.
But that's my point.
He's going to get the ball to Bijan. He's going to get the ball to Drake. He's going to get the ball to Pitt.
Yeah.
It's real simple. Well, we're not running the wishbone here.
No, but that's my point. The other guy can do that. This guy's supposed to be stretching the field for us, D.
Yeah, he needs protection for that. He ain't got to run nowhere. He just needs them to hold up for 4 seconds. So that, you know, he can hold up for 4 seconds, he can get it out.
Man. It's D-Led for Bowtie Sports Guys here live from up in Indy. Practice about to kick off, and D's telling us what he saw yesterday. Brandon Dorlus, he's inside the line, but he still can play edge. I mean, can he be the answer to help get more sacks? He had a great year last year, and how they use him this season.
Oh, yeah, they're going to turn over every stone on trying to get after the quarterback. Pretty clear they don't have much. Yesterday, they didn't get nowhere near Daniel Jones, and he was pretty much perfect on his completions during the practices yesterday. Nobody got near him. So I was kind of hoping to see a little bit of Aziz Ojulari get going. You know, it just didn't look good yesterday. We'll look again today.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they don't have much pass rush, even if you just look at the stats of the guys on the roster that are left over. So getting Smith in here, trying to move Dorlus around. They're going to be having to blitz. They're going to have to do all kinds of stuff. A corner slot big, slot corner blitz. Bring A.J. Terrell, bring some safeties. Yeah, he's going to have to get real creative back there on the blitz and stuff and the pass rush stuff this year.
What do you think Stefanski's number one concern? Put the quarterback aside. What is the biggest concern for him, do you believe?
Stopping the run. If they can't stop the run, it's a long, long campaign. You know, Ham is out, so that makes it look, you know, not as good.
Right.
You hoping Mason Smith can help you. But you're going to need some people. Cal London did a good job last year. But are you stout up the middle? And if you're not, that's a bad place to be. So I think that's his other big concern.
I agree.
I like Kendall Daniels, and I know that there's a couple guys battling behind Divine Diablo and Christian Harris. But, I mean, I think Daniels is like a Swiss Army knife, and he's such a big guy size-wise. I think he can do it all. You think he can be a big part of this defense this season?
Yeah, no doubt. I trust Jeff Obrick on selecting linebackers. I mean, that goes back to Devondre Campbell and Fourier. And, you know, yeah, he didn't get Tack McKinley right, but he's got a lot of right with the linebackers. Deion Jones. So if they like them, they know what to do with them, and they got them out there. So that's a good sign for Daniel.
All right, D, what are you watching in practice too? What are you focused in on today?
I've missed A.J. Terrell. I want to make sure he's doing fine. I want to look at the corners, make sure they're holding up. I'll start with the lines for sure. Just because, you know, they did pretty good. I thought they held a little bit better in the one-on-ones than they did in the 11-on-11s. But, you know, no pressure. Want to see if anybody can get the corner. But those are big things. Of course, the throws will be Tua, and, you know, if he can have a better mastery of the offense. If he pushes it down the field, his only pass down the field was to Drake, and Drake had to come back and take it off of the guy's head. So want to see him throw it down the field. I just haven't seen it. You know, that's going to be important for them if he's going to be out there at all.
Was just real quick, Mike, was yesterday's Daniel Jones performance blown out of proportion? When you hear that, oh, he didn't, you know, 14 for 14. What did you make of that? Was that more about our DBs, his receivers? What's the deal?
Oh, no, he was cooking, man. It was pretty good, Carl. I don't want to overstate that.
Okay.
Only problem I had was the bomb to Downs. Darren Hall could have blew him up in the old days, you know, when Willie Moore was lighting people up back there. If he could have took a shot, that might not have been a touchdown. But other than that, the ball was on time. They were out of their cuts. The ball was accurate, and you know, he had a very good day because he didn't have any. He wasn't rushed. He can do his count, 1, 2, 3 throws with nobody in his face, and it looked like he was just playing pitch and catch back there.
Our man D-Led up there, Stefanski. We talked about, you know, more organized practices, more contacted practice, all the things we were so excited about. You have any reason why we look so awful? I know it's just week one of preseason, but it's still hard. I heard Brandon Dorlus said they looked at the tape and they were embarrassed.
Yeah, I think stuff is coming together. You know, okay. You're not expecting everything to be. It's a new bunch. It's new coaches. They're doing new things. So yeah, it's not going to look great right away. But by this point, it should be a little bit better. So they got work to do. They know it. They talk about building, and so, you know, getting used to hitting and all that kind of stuff. That's new. So they might have to go into Miami cooking. I mean, I'm no, they didn't want to play people there, but they might need to, you know, rev it back up and keep going as they get ready for the regular season.
I agree. D-Led, man, yeah. always a pleasure, man. How hot is it out there, by the way? Is it pretty warm?
Oh, it's about 20 degrees cooler, man. I'm not dripping sweat. It's nice. It's nice. It's a good Midwestern day.
All right, bro. Perfect. Thank you so much, D. We appreciate you, as always, jumping on. And check out Bowtie Sports, man, and give D some love. Thank you, D.
All right. Thank you, Carl and Mike. Take care.
You got it.
Work to do, man. And it feels like there's a lot, Mike. I mean, like, it's not just one thing we're concerned about. He's talking about pass rush. Well, we knew that.
Right.
He's talking about protection and O-line. Okay, we kind of knew that, even though Juwan Taylor took all the reps yesterday, and hopefully that he can build on that. Guys, it was his second practice.
Right, but they say he looked good.
Right.
Looked okay. But, I mean, you're right. We're really good. We said yesterday, running the football has always been our thing. That's why you mentioned in the first segment of the show, like, what is Callahan doing? Are we breaking this thing down to build it up? Is this some new style? Because that shouldn't even be a concern, one would think, at least in camp or at least in these scrimmages. And then, let's be honest, the quarterback battle, it's not even a battle. Hell, it's not even a skirmish. It's more like a water gun fight.
Well, you know, yeah.
I mean, either
one of these guys. Mike,
who is blowing an opportunity here to take this job and impress everyone enough to make it a real battle so then when Penix finally is healthy, he just doesn't take it. But he's not even doing that.
Yeah, you're giving them reasons, this coaching staff and this front office, to make it easy. That's what's happening right now. But as I said, if this happens in game one and if, in fact, he is a starter, because D said something very interesting. I think it was Day-Day said, I think he gets cleared after this week. Okay, so it'll be 9 months, right, next week.
Mm-hmm.
Does he get cleared? It's a 9 to 12 month recovery period, depending on who you are. And I said as we started the show, again, just to remind you guys, he's had 4 injuries in college, and then you add last year.
Right.
So I don't know how his body is healing, but again, physically he looks fine. But until that happens, guys, to Mike's point, this may be a gap year. I don't know.
Look, I mean, you're going to wait for Penix to be ready. So no matter what Tua is doing, we talked about that beast of the first 5 games of the schedule. And then when does Penix Jr. come in? And then you're going to evaluate him. And hopefully, see, that's the thing.
You know what? Can I say this real quick? Don't put the kid in a position to try to be the savior either.
No.
Because that's crap.
But you still got to evaluate him. I mean, you can't have him on. You can't put Penix on ice this year.
No.
You got to know because, look, there's a lot of things that are going to happen in this college football season. But right now, there's about 6 or 7 guys, right? And it may get down to like 5 or maybe 3. Everyone knows Arch Manning. Everybody knows
I got 9.
Moore. But I'm saying, and there's quarterbacks at places as far flung from Notre Dame to, you know, all, you name it, all over the place. There's guys at Northwest. There's a lot of quarterbacks which are going to emerge. But you still don't know how are we going to do this. I'd like to know I got a quarterback for the next couple of years in Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah.
You know? But look at that. The quarterback draft Penix Jr. was a deep quarterback class. And look at that. Bo Nix, it looks like he's a world beater save for the injury. You know, Drake May's already played in the Super Bowl. Jaden Daniels set the league on fire, then took a step back. Caleb Williams has finally got his ish together, so they got him a coordinator. You know, and meanwhile, you got McCarthy and Penix as 2 giant question marks.
No, it's fair. And that's the other thing. You know me. I don't know if any of these guys can play in the league. That includes Arch with his pedigree. Like,
right.
you don't know until these guys get there. This whole notion, Julian Sands is going to be the next. Good luck. We don't know that. And that's why this whole risk thing about, well, let's just tank and we'll get the guy. You better hope that plays out that way. 404-726-0929. Do we have issues? Yes. But this is what the preseason is for. This is why they're working. And then we'll see what happens during the season. But right now, look, we have no reason to feel promise. When we talk about the outlook.
Right.
It's not like, oh, man, I'm shaking my magic 8 ball, as I told one of our listeners, and I'm going, the outcome of this season is going to be 10 wins.
Or 7, because it's a gap year.
All right, we're coming back. Lots more to dive into. By the way, this is still the biggest year for soccer in the ATL. Be sure to join Jason Longshore every Tuesday night for Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Join him. He's got the Soccer World covered, guys. International scene, Atlanta United. It's all brought to you by your local Ford dealer. Tuesday nights on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and available the next day at Off the Woodwork Podcast on Odyssey. All right, we're coming back. There's more NFL news to get to. Also, what do you believe is achievable? That's a conversation that's on the way. It's Dukes and Bell.